Today we'll talk about being prepared for being a disciple of Jesus and for our death. Lots to talk about on the program today. Stay tuned. It all starts right now. Tell you, I realized that program intro sounded a little ominous, but you hung in there. I'm glad you did. Today, by the way, welcome to the show. My name is Gary Zimak. Great to be here with you on this Wednesday evening. It's another gorgeous day in the New Jersey area. I've got my window open, so you might hear some of the sounds from outside drifting in. Today on the program, we'll take a look at the daily mass readings for Wednesday of the Wednesday of the 31st week in ordinary time. And the gospel from today's Mass talks about being prepared. Being prepared for the fact that when we become disciples of the Lord, there's something expected of us. And it's not going to be strictly a walk in the park. Yes, we will receive peace. Yes, we will. We do have the promise of eternal life in heaven. But it's going to require some work on our part. And this is the message that Jesus makes today in the gospel. And in the second half of the program today, we'll look at one of my favorite books. It's called My Daily Bread. We look at it every Wednesday on the show. It's a book by a priest, a Jesuit priest, Father Anthony Payone. The book was originally published in 1954. And this day we're going to look at the idea of being ready for death. So that's another aspect of preparation. Are you prepared for your death? And I know it sounds like a downer of a message, but it's one that we really need to understand. And as this church year comes to a close, we need to prepare. We need to make sure that we are ready for whenever it is that God calls us home. So that's what we're going to talk about on the program today. And trust me, come on, you know me. It's not going to be as bad as it sounds. We just have to be realistic. And certainly I think that what it should do is inspire us. It should inspire us to do a better job of following the Lord, of doing what we're supposed to do, but that we often put off. That's the importance of this. And especially as we head into the Advent season, it's a good time to make sure that we are prepared, because the Lord is coming. We're going to see the Lord face to face one day. We don't know when that day will be. So during Advent, we prepare. Advent is a season of hope. We are hopeful that the Lord is going to come to a greater degree in our own lives, of course, and he's going to come at the end of time. And we really have to make sure that we're ready when we meet him. But right now, we can get started. We can get started in having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ and cleaning up some of the excess baggage that we've accumulated through the year. So that's what we're going to talk about in the remaining weeks of the year, even as we go through the Advent season, because Advent is all about preparing. Many times we don't think of Advent as being a season of repentance. It's more of a season of waiting. But there is a penitential aspect to Advent as well as there is to Lent. Because in order for us to fully appreciate the coming of the Savior more deeply into our hearts, we've got to make some room for him. We've got to clean out the insides where we have accumulated a lot of junk over the years. So that's the purpose of the Advent season. So we're going to talk about that more in the weeks to come. But right now, I'm glad you're joining me on this Wednesday evening. I hope some of you got a chance to hear the Sunrise Morning Show this morning for my weekly Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled segment. I talked about St. Peter and the fact that he swore that he would go to prison or even be put to death for Jesus. And right after that, Jesus said, "Peter, the cock won't crow before you deny me three times." And of course, we know the end of the story. But as Matt Swaim pointed out on the program this morning on EWTN Radio, Jesus forgave Peter because Peter repented. Judas, on the other hand, betrayed the Lord as well. But Judas hung himself. He didn't seek forgiveness. Really important distinction there. And as we run the risk of falling into despair or discouragement whenever we commit a sin. If we think that we messed up so bad that the Lord can't forgive us, it's a big mistake, because that's not at all true. We want to always remember that the Lord will forgive us, provided we're sorry and we turn to Him and ask for that forgiveness. So that's what we talked about on the program today. I also, earlier in the day, had the great privilege of doing a one-hour program with Jeanette Benkovic for the Women of Grace radio show. We did that. We taped it. So to the best of my knowledge, I think it may air next week. I will let you know for sure. But it was kind of neat doing it because it was unexpected. It was at the last minute. I'm headed down to EWTN in a few days to tape a five-part series with Jeanette. So it was kind of cool to be able to do the radio show with her. And you know what's funny? I was thinking about it. Even though I've done her TV show, I never did radio with her before. So it was really interesting. I love the discussions that we get into. Jeanette's a really easy person to talk to. I will let you know when that program is on. It is all about overcoming fear and worry. You know, that's my specialty. That's what I love to talk about. So that'll be airing soon, and I will keep you posted when that program does air. And as far as the TV show goes, I'm not sure when that will air, but I'll let you know about that as well. Final piece of news. I know that I owe you a newsletter. I'm late. I have some writing deadlines I'm trying to keep up with. I will try to get a newsletter to you soon if you have signed up for my monthly email newsletter. Doesn't generally come out every month, but I do my best. One thing for sure, when you sign up for my mailing list, you're not going to get inundated with emails. You can rest assured about that. But I do apologize. I'm a little behind there. I guess I'm ready to get started. Beverage du jour today. I have a cup of Maxwell House coffee. I'm going to take a little sip now. My Mystic Monk coffee is on the way. I promise to drink it on the program when it gets here. I ordered some Jingle Bell Java and some Candy Cane, which is a flavor I never had before from the monks at Mystic Monk. So as soon as that gets here, I will make sure to debut it on the program. Right now, let's turn to the Lord and put ourselves in His presence. Let's remember that He hears our prayers. Whenever we pray, He hears us. So let's lift up our needs. I'm going to lead us in prayer, but if you have needs, make sure you remember them as we... I'll leave a little space today on the program, so lift up your needs as well, because He really can hear us, and He really can do something about our problems, and He wants to have a closer relationship with us. So let's make sure to ask Him for that as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we give You thanks for giving us another day. We are still alive. Obviously, You have a plan for us. We're very grateful that You haven't given up on us. Father, we ask You to help us to better live out our baptismal promises. Help us to continue walking on the road which will one day lead to eternal life in heaven with You. Father, we ask You to bless us and our families, those around us. Help us to be a light shining in the darkness. We understand that so many people need to hear Your word, and we'd love to be able to proclaim Your message to others, but we need some help. So we ask You to give us the strength that we need to be able to make that possible. We also ask You, Father, to help those who are sick, those who are lonely, anyone who is anxious, anyone struggling with doubt or despair, those dealing with financial difficulty. Also those individuals who are struggling with religious persecution or with extreme weather situations of any kind. Father, we present to You our own personal needs. We're going to leave some time now. We're going to lift our needs up to You. We know that You can handle them. We give You thanks in advance for handling these intentions in the best way possible. Father, I also turn this radio program over to You. I ask You to help us, or help us to hear Your message today on the show. Please use me, speak through me on this program, so that Your message may be proclaimed, and that we may have open hearts and open minds to hear the message that You have for us. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Mother Mary, we turn to You for Your assistance now, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Also want to give a shout out to Saint Charles Borromeo, whose feast we celebrate today. We ask Saint Charles Borromeo to pray for us too. It's really great to have the help of the saints and the angels in heaven so they can pray for us. We're not in this alone. You know, sometimes we think that it's just up to us to make it to heaven, to become holy on our own. It's not at all. The Lord wants to help us. The angels are there for us. The saints are there. We all have guardian angels to help us. We have many saints in heaven who are willing to pray for us. The Blessed Mother, above all, really wants to help us out. So let's turn to these, our friends, our heavenly friends, and ask them to continue to pray for us so that we may be able to live holy lives. It's not easy. It's not easy to try to do it on your own. It's, as a matter of fact, it's pretty much impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He can help us. All right, I thank you for listening to the program again. My name is Gary Zimek. We do this program every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. We've been doing this show for 5 years now. Hard to believe, but it's a great blessing to be able to do it, to hang out every night, to talk about Jesus, and to share some teachings of the Catholic Church, the church that Jesus Christ founded, to give you some help along the way. 30 minutes each night. Really glad that you're a part of this program, and I would ask you to please try to share the news with some of your friends. Let them know about this show so we can get even more listeners involved with the Advent retreat coming up. It's very easy to become distracted by the preparation that goes into the Christmas season. We focus so much on Christmas that we lose sight of Jesus. We lose sight of Advent. Advent is a time set aside. We've got a few weeks to prepare to welcome Jesus more deeply into our hearts. And unfortunately, what we do is we prepare for Christmas and we neglect to prepare and make use of the Advent season to prepare for the coming of the Lord. For real, it's not a figurative coming. He is coming more deeply into our lives, or he wants to. And really, at the end of Advent, we should be closer to Jesus than we were when we started at the beginning of Advent. That's the goal. And each year during Advent, we don't want to go through the same process again. We don't want to start back where we were. We want to move a little closer each year. So this year, if I get close to the Lord, get a little bit closer to him during Advent, then I'll be closer going into next year's Advent. I want to keep it up through the year. And then I'll even move closer. So little by little, I become closer friends with Jesus Christ, and I become a better follower of him. He becomes more real in my life. And that's the purpose of these seasons. So anyway, without further ado, let's get right into the readings. By the way, I do want to mention, if you want to find out more about my work, you might not be familiar with my work, you might want to invite me to your parish. I'd love to come to your parish to speak, and you might want to check out some of my books and recordings. I have recordings of some of my most popular talks available for sale. You can find all of that information out by visiting my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. Also, if you need to get in touch with me, in addition to the contact page on the website, you can always just email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. That's really easy to remember, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay, here we go with the readings. First reading, St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Brothers and sisters, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law. Boy, there Paul goes again with that message of love. This is the toughest message in all of Christianity. And St. Paul talks about it. Jesus talks about it. St. John talked about it extensively, both in his gospel and in his three letters in the New Testament. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Basically, if I don't love those around me, then there's no way I can love God. That's a tough message, because so many times we don't love those around us. Now, understand that there is no requirement that you like those around you. You can still love them without liking them. Love is an action. It's not a feeling. There is a feeling associated with love, but you're not going to necessarily feel that all the time. If you make the decision to love somebody, you're going to want what's best for them. Therefore, you'll pray for them. You'll try to do whatever you can to help them. Even if you don't have access to the person, it might be somebody that you don't even know, a stranger you see on the street. We're called to love everybody. So therefore, we can pray for anybody. We can do possibly nice deeds for people. We can smile if we run into somebody in the store. Whatever it is, we are called to love. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action. And in our world today, we are very much confused about the idea of love. We can still love somebody even if we can't stand them. I mean, to be totally honest, that's the truth. Now, if we are consistently having these bad feelings toward people, we might want to take a look deep inside of ourselves and try to determine why that's the case. That could be indicative of a problem, but we can love people even if we don't like them. So don't feel bad if you're praying for someone, if you're trying to be nice to them, if you're doing all the right things, but you still have a bad feeling about them in the pit of your stomach. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But again, if it goes on too long, you might question, well, why do I have this bad feeling? But you are not sinning by doing that. And I think that's something that we all need to reflect upon. We don't need to be panicking because it doesn't feel good to love certain people. It's not going to feel good to love certain people, but we are called to do it. Psalm 112 is the responsorial psalm today. Blessed the man who is gracious and lends to those in need. Blessed the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed. He dawns through the darkness, a light for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just. Well for the man who is gracious and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. Lavishly he gives to the poor. His generosity shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. Blessed the man who is gracious and lends to those in need. I mean, this is what it's all about. Lending to those in need, giving them your time, sharing your money, sharing your kindness, sharing your knowledge of the faith, whatever it may be. These are all ways that we can love someone. Let's look at the gospel now, Luke 14, verses 25 through 33. Now, the message here is all about preparation. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. And he said, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlooker should laugh at him and say, 'This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish.' Or what king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple." Now, before you panic, in the beginning of this gospel passage, Jesus is using hyperbole. We are certainly not called to hate anybody. But Jesus is trying to make a point. The point is that no person or no thing in this earth should come before our relationship with him. For the most part, if things are in the proper order, that won't present a problem. But there are times when our priorities get a little bit mixed up and we put a greater emphasis on a personal relationship or a thing than we do on our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's when it becomes a problem. We got to watch out for that. Now, he talks about this idea of preparation, being a disciple, calculating the cost to construct a tower. When we decide to follow Jesus, now we maybe have been baptized at a young age, or we may have been baptized recently, whatever it is, we begin a journey. From that point on, we begin a journey, but at some point, especially if we were baptized at an early age, I was baptized as an infant, for instance, I have to make a conscious decision to be a disciple. I have to say, yep, I'm going to be a disciple of Christ. I'm really going to do what it takes. Now, that requires cost. There is a cost of discipleship. You've got to give up some of your earthly pleasures. You might have to leave some relationships behind. You may be forced to suffer. There are things you may lose some of your respectability, because when people find out you're a Christian, they have less respect for you. I mean, sad, but it happens. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to love others even when you're angry, even when they have hurt you, even when they betrayed you? Because that's what it requires to be a Christian. And this preparation is important because if we don't think about this, then we're probably not going to be doing what we need to be doing. If we're not prepared to be a disciple of Christ, which involves carrying a cross, which involves not letting a relationship or an earthly possession stand between you and the Lord, if we're not prepared, chances are we're not going to do a very good job with this. The other aspect of preparation is that at the end of our lives, we will be judged. We will be judged on how well we lived our Christian faith. Are we going through the motions, or are we taking it seriously? As the year draws to a close, both the liturgical year and the church year, let's take a strong look at our lives and see, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Again, it's not scary. It's really a call to action. Are you prepared? If not, you are still alive. Praise the Lord. Let's get busy. Let's take a look and let's shift our focus now, not really too much of a shift, into being ready for death. This is from the book My Daily Bread by Father Anthony Payone. The first section involves a message spoken to you by Christ. And I want you to think about these words. Picture the Lord saying these words to you. Then we'll follow that up with a thought and a prayer. The words of Christ: "My child, your actions and thoughts should always be as orderly as though you expected to die this day. If you are unprepared today, excuse me, how will you be prepared tomorrow? Tomorrow is uncertain. How do you know that you will be alive tomorrow? If you have ever seen a person pass away, just reflect that you too must pass away as he did. You could do many good works while you enjoy good health, but when you are sick, who knows what you will be able to do? Few people are improved by sickness. So too, those who have too many worldly interests seldom increase in holiness because they are full of distractions. Recollection and prayer are the seeds of a good life, and a good life is the path to a holy death." I want you to think about this for a minute, especially if you are relatively healthy, especially even if you're not that healthy, but you still have the ability to pray. You know, we get to a point where it is possible, through sickness, through loss of our mental abilities, we might lose some of these abilities that we have now. Let's not waste the talents that the Lord has given us today. Even the ability to speak, to help somebody, to get out into the world and help other people. We don't want to waste these opportunities given to us, because one day those opportunities may not be there. So if you are able to donate to charities financially, if you're able to help people, maybe help at your church, maybe help a neighbor, do it while you still can. One day, you might not be able to do it. You may die. You may become sick. I mean, so many different things can happen. So let's take advantage of our gifts while we have them. All right, it is better to provide for yourself while you are still here in this life. Do not rely on the prayers and help of others after your death. The present time is precious. Now is your opportunity. This is your day of salvation. Spend today profitably. Send your prayers, your sacrifices, and your good works to me before you come to me to be judged. It is within your power to earn eternal life by a wise use of this present time. And yes, absolutely, I would agree with that even more so now in 2015 than it was in 1954. You cannot count on people to pray for your soul after you die. I'm going to tell you, I've said it many times, please pray for me if you hear that I die, because I really will need it. But the idea of praying for the dead is becoming less and less popular. All of a sudden, everybody's in heaven, which has never been the teaching of the church. We don't know, with the exception of canonized saints, if anybody or who is in heaven. So we can't make that assumption. But it's a very valid point. Don't count on people to pray for you after you die. Do what you can now to live a holy life, so that you don't have to spend a bazillion years in purgatory. Now's the time. Finally, think often of death and remember that time lost will never return. You have not a lasting dwelling on this earth. In this life, you are like a traveler. You will never have rest until you are united with me, your Savior. Wow, that's strong, isn't it? Something to think about. Few things are certain in this earthly life. The most certain fact of all is that I am to die. When, where, how? I know not. That I shall die, however, is certain. Many people are dying at this very moment. I'm too busy with my own life to give much thought to them. So will it be when I am dying. That moment will be very important to me, but the world will go right on about its business. If I do not prepare for death by a good life, then I am a fool. Whoa. Pretty interesting how the gospel and this message ties in, isn't it? I don't plan this. I'm going sequentially through this book. That's powerful. The key word today is preparation. Let's get ready. And it's beautiful because this leads into the Advent season. Get ready. Finally, let's end with the prayer. Lord, let me not fear death with an empty fear, but with a wise and a holy fear. An empty fear does not make men any better, but a wise and holy fear urges them to improve their lives. I will prepare for death by trying today to please you more and more in my thoughts, my desires, my words, and my actions. If I live this day as you desire, I shall be ready at any moment, and death will be nothing worse than your loving call. Amen. Phew, imagine that. One of the greatest fears known to man, death, is the loving call of your Savior. We got some work to do, don't we? Because a lot of us don't feel that. We're terrorized, panic-stricken by the idea of death. But yet, if our life is in order, there is nothing to fear, because death has been transformed by Jesus Christ into the gateway, the entrance into eternal life. We can get there. Let's continue to walk one day at a time. Let's pray for one another. Let's go out and share the good news. Let's tell people about Jesus Christ. People need to know about Christ. People need to know that he loves us. People need to know that he cares for us. People need to know that he wants to be intimately involved in our lives. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people need to hear about his message. Amen? All right. Well, we are just about out of time. And I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. God willing, I plan to be back tomorrow. I hope you will be able to be here as well. We're going to do, as we do each Thursday, we will focus on the Blessed Mother. It's called Mother's Day every Thursday here on the Gary Zimek Show, and I really hope you'll be able to tune in. In the meantime, let's keep praying for one another. Let me know if there's anything that I can do for you. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Remember, we're a few short weeks away from the Advent retreat, so let's get ready. Have a wonderful night. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in.